Igen.
Okay, ladies, good evening. I'd like to start, first of all, by introducing myself. My name is Rabbi Manning. I teach in a few different places, not regularly at Mikvala, although I taught here last year, so maybe that is at least regularly, once every year. And I have the great pleasure in teaching you people from Shana Bet on an issue which we're going to talk about in a minute. I'd like to thank Mrs. Markowitz for inviting me. It was very kind of her. And also for being flexible. When I was sick last week, I can assure you I really would have crawled into the room to give a share. But it wouldn't have been worth listening to. It may not yet be worth listening to, but at least there's more of a chance when I'm not sick. So. Oh, yes?
Every year it does something else.
Oh, yes. Last year was the snow. Yeah. This year was the virus. But Baruch Hashem, we're here now, and the plan is Bezrat Hashem to have tonight, to have next week, and then after Hanukkah to have the last in the series. So thanks for the flexibility, and we'll hopefully get it all done. Now, what am I here to talk about? I'm sure you were told in advance. I'm here to talk about tzniut. What, you ask yourselves, can we possibly hear about tzniut that we haven't heard before? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe you've all heard this before, which is great. Chazorah is a good thing. But people have been talking to you about tzniut since you were 7 years old. What I'd like to do tonight is maybe give you a slightly different angle than one you've heard before. And there are many different ways to look at tzniut. But let me tell you what I'm not going to do. Obviously, there is an entire hashkafic world of tzniut that you need to understand and learn. The Maharal, many other people, and there's lots of very beautiful ideas about life, about Shmiras HaMitzvahs generally, Avodas Hashem, which tzniut has a very critical part to play in that. That's all worth doing, and I'm sure you've heard a lot of that before, and I'm not really going to touch on that briefly maybe, but really that's not my topic for tonight. Also, of course, whenever you deal with tzniut on a practical level, there has to be a practical, sociological, psychological, emotional discussion about the implications of tzniut. And clearly, anyone like me, and certainly me, are completely inappropriate to deal with that, because how do I know really how people 25 years younger than me and 5,000 miles removed, like I'm English, no one else is English here, right? So I grew up in a world which A, I'm male, B, I'm 46, C, I grew up in the 1970s. Like, what could I possibly say to you that will have any practical relevance on the practical issues of clothing and all things like that? So clearly you've had this conversation with other people. I can't believe that you haven't. And that's not what I'm intending to deal with tonight. I can't give you any shopping tips as to where to buy what. Other people can do that, and I should do that with you, madrichot, rechazot, mechanchot, etc. What I am here to try and do is give you a halachic structure. Not even so much specific halachot, although we will deal with specific halachot, but to give you a structure as to how to see hilchos tzniut in the world of halacha. Because a lot of people feel that, you know, whereas there's a structure to hilchos Shabbos, and then you use a kli rishon, a kli sheni, and a kli shishi, and there's a structure to hilchos kashrus, and it's a ben yoma, and a ben yoma, and you know how to put things into clear halachic boxes. When it comes to tzniut, I don't know, it's all a bit fluffy, it's all a bit, well, it's a hashkafic, it's not really much halacha anyway. And that's not true at all. There is a halachic structure. There are gemaras, and there are rishonim, and there is shulchan aruchs, and there are achronim, and there's an analysis. And of course, it's a different kind of analysis, but there's analysis there. And you need to know about that, because people often go out into the world thinking that tzniut is just some kind of 20th century thing that people have invented to try and make people's lives difficult, okay? And it's not, I can assure you. I mean, it may make your life difficult, I don't know, it may not. That's a separate hashkafic psychological perspective, but it's certainly not a 20th century idea, and I want to help you to see that clearly. My Kabbalah, my Masorah on these issues comes from Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz. Rabbi Yitzchak Berkowitz, I was zocher to learn his Kollel for many, many years. And he presents Hilchot Tznius in a way that I'd never heard it before when I was in his Kollel, and many people say that they've never heard it before. I'm quite sure that if Mrs. Markowitz could have done, she would have had Rabbi Berkowitz teaching the Shirim and not me. Please come in, ladies. And if he had come to teach you the Shirim, I'd have been in the back listening. I can promise you that. I hope that I'll be pretty faithful to his approach. I can't promise you that every word that I say tonight, he would have agreed with. I can't promise you that, but I hope that I'm being faithful to his approach generally in the way that it's structured. Fine. Now, I've given you a sheet. I'm not going to read, obviously, through all this English on the front, but let me just give you a couple of introductory remarks. I think one has to start dividing up sneels. By the way, I'm happy to have questions at any stage if you want, or at the end if you want. I'm happy to stay behind for a few minutes. I don't want to help you from your nice dinner, but I'm happy to stay behind. There are a number of different specific areas that one needs to cover in Hilchos Sneas. First of all, and that's what I'm going to do today, in number one, there are the halachas of self-respect. Sneas is an issue of self-dignity, which applies to men and to women, and it's not limited to the issue of dress, although it includes it. And we'll see these are passed in a specific area in Shulchan Aruch, in Aruch Chaim at the beginning, in Memdal, in Reish Mem, in Eben Ezer. So they have their own specific area of halachic sect. Self-dignity and self-image. Please come in, ladies. We've only just started. Take one of these each. Take another one of those. That we're going to deal with tonight. Okay? There's a second area which is separate, which is the issue of sneers related to dress and related to women. That is the Gemara in Ksubas. It's the concept of Das Yehudis. And that we're going to do next time and understand what that is. And I'm quite sure you've heard about that before in different contexts. That is Paschal in the Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer in Kuf Tet Vav. And we'll have a look at some of those sources, Be'ezrat Hashem, next week in the Shir. A third issue, and this is where people get confused, a third issue, which is a separate issue, related but separate, is the issue of Erva. Erva is a set of halachas that apply to men, as to what men can do, what men can't do, when they can daven, when they can say brachas, what they are meant to look at, what they're not meant to look at. It is passing that it's completed in Sukkot, it's Sukkot in brachas, it's passing in Rochaim in Ayin Hay, in a completely different place, in the Hilchos Kriyas Shema. And that we're going to learn in the third week. One of the biggest confusions, which I think causes the most problems, is the confusion between the Sukkot of Das Yehudis and the Sukkot of Erva. Das Yehudis is a Sukkot on women, the halachas on women and how women dress. Erva are halachas on men, and how men are allowed to do this, that, and the other. And the two don't necessarily always come together. For example, and we'll see this when we look at it, a woman can be dressed perfectly properly in her own home in terms of Hilchos Sneas, about to go to bed, wearing a nightgown or whatever is entirely appropriate for her to wear. So in terms of Hilchos Sneas, she checks the box 100%, but she still may be dressed in such a way that she's uncovering an erva, and her husband is not allowed to look at her when he says brachas. That's good for him, that's good for her, and everybody's fine. But uncovering an erva doesn't necessarily mean that a person is not sanua. And covering an erva doesn't necessarily mean that a person is sanua. So we'll see how those two sugyas come together in the third session, Be'ezrat Hashem. Okay. There are other things that we're not going to talk about so much. Well, obviously there's Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is clearly relevant here in the sense that women, as everybody, have to be conscious that when they're dressed in a certain way, they're presenting themselves to other people and presenting other people the opportunity to act in an inappropriate way. However, Lifnei Iver is not the source of Hilchos Sneas. That's another thing. I'm sure you guys never make this mistake. But women have said to me in the past, you know, the only reason that the halacha requires me to dress with tzniut is so I don't cause men to do aveiros. That is definitely not true. And it is an inappropriate, highly inappropriate way of looking at your own tzniut, thinking that the only reason that God's making these rules for you is to save the men from doing aveiros. It's not true. Obviously, there is an angle of Lifnei Iver in every aspect of life, and if you're dressed in an inappropriate way, one has to be conscious of that. Okay? But that is not the root or the source of Hilchos Sneas. It's a separate sukkia, which is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch, but nothing to do with Sneas. It's Paskin in a different area entirely. Okay? So we're not really going to talk about Lifnei Iver, but please don't make the mistake of thinking that Lifnei Iver is the root. It's part of it, it's not the root of Hilchos Sneas. I've even been asked questions like, you know, if I'm on a beach and there are only non-Jewish men there, a woman asked it, am I allowed to wear a swimsuit on a beach when there are only non-Jewish men there? Only a person who completely misunderstands the halachas of Sneas can ask such a question. Oh, why not? There are no Jewish men there, they're not over, non-Jews are not chayv in it, it's not one of the Sheva mitzvahs, but they know after Lifnei Iver. So what's the problem? The problem is that there's a central issue of tzniut, which the woman's clearly hadn't got any kind of clarity on. I also know women who will go on a mixed beach and wear a swimsuit, but wear a shekel, because they won't uncover their hair. Why not? Why can't cover your hair? You know, kimchis and everything, you know. Hair. Also completely lost the plot. Misunderstood the basis of Hilchos Sneas. So there's a lot of misunderstanding out there. And the last one I wrote here is Avas Reim. Avas Reim is clearly relevant in all of these issues, especially in Hilchos Sneas, meaning men have to be conscious of the Ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha in the way they deal with women. That's clearly a chiv. You can't go throwing rocks at people and expect them to take halacha more seriously. I once sat at the Kotel. I took a Kirib group to the Kotel many years ago. These were kids from, you know, campuses all over North America. And you know what it's like on Friday night at the Kotel. So there were the guys doing their thing, and there were the girls all doing their thing and dancing and singing. You've been to the Kotel Friday night many times, I'm sure. So there was my group of girls dancing and singing with a whole group of other people. And there was a guy sitting in front of me near the mechitza, and he starts throwing water all over them. Yeah, the bottle of water starts throwing water all over them. So after a while I went to him and said to him, "Excuse me, sir, would you mind not throwing water all over my tummy gun?" So he screams at me. He says, "I throw chairs at them, I throw tables at them if I have them." I said, "Well, it's a good job you don't have them." But he didn't have them. But why, what's going on? I mean, how does that work with your house and the rest of Tomoka at all? Men have to be conscious that the way they speak to women about Hilchos Tznias can be highly offensive, can be highly inappropriate. That clearly works in that way. But women also have to be conscious that if they dress in a certain way which is inappropriate, that's also a problem of the Ahavta L'Rehecha Kamocha and the way they deal with each other. Don't forget about that sugya. It comes in everywhere, and it comes in Hilchos Tznias as well, in all directions, on the men, on the women, etc. How women talk to women. Women are sometimes not all as careful as they should be the way they talk to other women in these things. And therefore, I think you have to be conscious of that. And I'm not going to talk about that. But don't think of Hilchos Tznias without thinking of that angle as well, because it comes in very poorly. Now, to the point I was going to make tonight. Have a look, please, at the first source at the bottom of the page. Everything that I'm going to say from now on, for the rest of this year, applies to men and women alike. Okay, let's have a look. Where is the source in the Torah? Where is the mitzvah d'oraisa of Tzniut? So again, some people are familiar with this. If you are, good. If you're not, then have a look now. Number one, pasuk in Dvarim towards the end there. V'yad tihiye lecha michutz lemachanech. You will have a yad. You will have a special place, okay, outside the mechana, designated. V'yad tzata shamachutz, and you'll go out there when what? When you need to use the bathroom. If you're in a battle, if you're in a war. You will have a shovel al azanecha on your equipment. When you need to go outside, you will dig over, you'll cover over what you have to do. You'll cover over that which you do in the bathroom. You have to use the bathroom in a battle. It's a real issue. How do guys go to the bathroom when they're in the middle of a war? It's an awkward business, especially if you're in the middle of a tank. That's also a bit awkward, okay? You can ask tank people how they go to the bathroom when they're in the middle of a tank, and you can be interested in the response. Ki Hashem Elokecha mikalech bekerev machanecha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present in your camp, in the middle of a wall, says the Pasuk. Latet odecha lefanecha, to give your enemies before you. V'haya machanecha kadosh, you must keep your machanech kadosh. Keep the battlefield bathroom clean. That is the mitzvah. The lawyer of a erva, don't let there be seen in you any inappropriate thing, an erva, any inappropriate thing. V'shav me'acharecha, and then a kosherachu will turn away from you. Now, keep the battlefield bathroom clean. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa. Meaning, even in a situation where a person is stressed, in fear of death, who knows whether a person is even going to be alive? Look, I've never been in a battle, I must confess to you. I was a lawyer. We had all sorts of different kinds of battles in the boardroom, but nothing like this, you know? I've never been on the battlefield to know what it's like. But people will tell you when they go on the battlefield, it's like people turn into animals on the battlefield. Read any kind of war literature. Read First World War literature. Read All Quiet on the Western Front. Read something like, you see how people behave in battle, they turn into animals. That's the whole parsha of Eshet Yifas Toya, which has nothing to do with it today, which is to channel that incredible beast inside people, men especially, when they're in the battlefield, to make sure that it doesn't express itself in such a violent way that in most people it does. All through history, including the 20th and the 21st century, rape on the battlefield has been endemic in all things. The Torah knows this. The Torah knows that people lose it on the battle, and therefore they say to you, even on the battlefield, there is a mitzvah of dignity, of human dignity. You have to keep the battlefield bathroom clean. Kal v'chomer, in other situations, the Torah often works through kal v'chomer. It teaches interesting mitzvahs in interesting ways. Where is the mitzvah in the Torah that you have to bury somebody when they die? Where is that brought? Where do we see the mitzvah of burying? Who is he talking about when he uses that mitzvah? What's that? By Sarah, no. You can't learn mitzvahs before Matan Torah. With what? Yosef? Not Yosef either. You're all thinking very kind of... You're all thinking, I want a POSIX, something where it says, thou shalt bury people. Not just stories of people who were buried. That's a midrash probably that you're quoting it anyway. What's that? No, not Mace Mitzvah. It's talking about a criminal. If a criminal has been put to death, Chayav Misa, and there's a mitzvah to tie them up onto a tree for the rest of that day, the Chayav Skila, says the Torah, you must take them down and bury them that night. Bal Talim, you're not allowed to leave them till the next morning. Why? Because Kilalat Elokim, because it is the Beret Selim Elokim, and they have to be taken down and buried. You cannot leave a human person, a human body, out overnight. It was only a few hundred years ago that there were human beings hung up for months, even on the Tower of London, you know, all over the place. Probably never in America, you know, much more civilized there. But in England, they were having people out there for months, but not so very long ago. So the terror, even the biggest lowlife in the world, who you think, well, he deserves it. I mean, for goodness sake, look what he did. Do you care about him else? Yeah, even him, Kal Vachon, everybody else. Where does it say in the Torah that you have to treat your wife in the appropriate way? Where is the mitzvah brought that you have to give her Oina, Sus, etc.? Who is it said about? It says in Parshas Mishpatim, if a person marries the maid, if they marry the Alma Ivriya, the maid, don't forget to give her all the things that she needs as a Jewish wife. In case anyone ever turns around and says, well, you know something, when he said you have to treat your wife nicely, yeah, but you know, not the maid, I mean, I married the maid. The answer is no, the maid Kal Vachomer, not the maid. So here too, the battlefield Kal Vachomer, your life, etc., etc. And therefore, this is the Torah mitzvah. We'll see the smack brings it in a few minutes. This is the Torah mitzvah. Sneers, it's one of the Tariag mitzvahs, and this is where it comes from. Go over the page for a second. Let's have a look at another few associations of Sneers, and you'll see that they build a picture. Of course, the famous Pasuk in Micha, this cannot be the root of the mitzvah of Sneers, because it's a Pasuk in Micha. Okay? It cannot be a Torah source for the mitzvah d'oraisa. But the Pasuk is well known. Number two, Higi lecha adam ma'aseh v'ma'af doyrish nimcha, ki im atzis mishpat v'arat chesed v'atznei aleches. Okay, you all know that Pasuk. Atznei aleches melokecha. What does atznei aleches mean? So the Mesudas Sion brings down. It's talking about, look at the wording here. Releches im elokecha b'darchei mitzvoisa v'tzina loy v'pirsum. There's an idea of tzina and not pirsum. There are private moments. There are private things between you and God that don't need to be with everybody else. Okay, not the pirsum rav. Ulehit yaher. What's lehit yaher? What's yehuga? Arrogance. Life should be without arrogance. It should be a private affair. In essence, v'hatsneya meloshim tsniut v'hesed. However, tsniut is associated with things that people don't expect it to be. Look in Mishlei number 3. Bad zadoin v'yavakolan. Even though some people will have disgrace in their life, etvah hatsnuim with the people who are tsnuim chach. They get chokhmah. Sneers is associated with chokhmah, and we'll see why in a minute.
So
what's your name?
Leah.
Leah, yes.
So when something else goes to conduct your religious life in an arrogant and out of an extraordinary way,
yes.
So why is it that, say, you'll see like men like shakaling or like going like crazy?
Well, if they're shakaling, if they're
shakaling
to make a public exhibition of themselves, that's highly inappropriate and wrong.
Or when you're, let's say,
if
you're like that one guy that's just screaming
like, you know something, you're 100% right. None of my rabbis ever did that. Maybe because they were all lishbaks. And therefore that's not what they do. Maybe if I had some chassidish blood in me, then it would be different. But, you know something, there's a lot of people do a lot of things. My mystery in the way people daven is that people daven in a very private affair. If their davening is so big lavish that they can't help themselves but crying out, okay, I understand that. But again, if they're doing it so that all the other people are going to see them and think, oh, what a gracious tzaddik he is, you know and I know that that's not real. Okay? So I think that the shockling is, well, there's a big shine in the Mishnah Berurah. He even brings them whether you're allowed to shockle or whether it's Mechtah Keyurah. It's a whole discussion there about shockling. That's about shockling. And he says, doing this is okay, but doing, he goes through a whole thing, a range of like different, if you're being unusual, attracting attention to yourself, then it becomes a problem. Okay. Now, what's with the chokhmah? Have a look at number 4. I bet you've never seen this source before. Okay? What's Neter Avoy? Neter Avoy is produce in the 4th year of growth of the plant. Okay? First 3 years is Orla. The 4th year, you have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And the 5th year, you can already keep it at home. So look what it says, number 4. Mishnah in Matasheni. Keren Ravoy. Okay? If you have property, if you have fruit, which is kerem ravoi, and you know you have to take it to Yerushalayim, you can't eat it wherever you live in Tiberias, okay? You have a special marking system, says the Mishnah. You put special type. See, I've made before. You came to our house for dinner, right?
Was that how my first time?
Oh, that was it. Yeah. I think I've seen you somewhere. Was it Bela? No.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh. Where did that come from? That came from somewhere deep in Denmark. Okay, fine. Excellent. You have Kerem Ravoi. You have to mark it so that you don't mistakenly eat it. Because it's not for eating now, it's for taking to Yerushalayim. So look what it says. Amar Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, b'mad varim amurim. When does that say you have to mark it? B'shvir, in Shmiti year. What's the problem in Shmiti year? In Shmiti year, everyone's going to come in and take everybody's fruit, right? It's all hefka. But it's still Kerem Ravoi, so how are people going to know which fruit is for eating in the field and which fruit they have to take with them and eat in Yerushalayim? We never thought of that. Yeah, it's a Kerem Ravoi, etc. So it says that you put a marker there so people know this is Kerem Ravoi. The Hatsanuim, the people who are Tanua, Menichim Es Amos, they put aside money, they do a clever thing, they redeem the Kerem Ravoi on money in the house, and they think ahead, and they work out how to avoid putting a mikshal in front of the other people, etc. Those people are called Tanuim. They are people who are Tanua. Why? Because they're Chachamim, they think, they thought through what they're doing. They're particular, they're majestic. It doesn't necessarily mean here sneers in a direct sense, but sneers is an attitude. Have a look in the Rambam in number 5. The Rambam says there, Kfar bi'arnu sheh tsnuim, what does tsnuim mean? He medyachtikim ba'isurim. People who are taking seriously, think it through carefully. They're careful with isurim. And bear that in mind when we see where sneers is paskened in a minute in the Shulchan Aruch as to how that comes about. Now, the smack, who is the smack? Say the mitzvah of cotton, when they buy a toaster. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Korbei. He brings tzniut as a mitzvah, the right. Look at number 6. There's a mitzvah, lihyot tanua. To be tanua, dichsiv, as it says, v'hayom achanecha kodosh. Keep the battlefield bathroom clean. Uksiv, and it says, and he brings the micha as well, v'asnei alechet the melokecha. V'amru chachamim, ein tanua, ela hatanua v'beit hakise. And he brings what we're going to see in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch came after him. Where are the two places that sneers is paskin as a din in the Shulchan Aruch? A, in the Beis HaKiseh, which is the bathroom, okay? And then he gives examples. If you go to the bathroom in the bed. Bathrooms in those days were not private affairs. They were out in the middle of the... Even my father, okay, who grew up in the 1950s, he's not 180 years old, they never had a bathroom in the house. They never had a... She looks at me like, I'm shocked. They had a key, and they had a bathroom down the road, which they shared with everybody else in the road. And when they needed to use the bathroom, they went down in the middle of the night, which in the north of England in winter is not a pleasant affair. And they used the bathrooms in the middle of the night. You know, we're all very lucky today. We have all these private arrangements, facilities, etc. When you used to use the bathroom, he says, the bathroom has to be used at night, just like during the day. Ah, but no one can see me. That's the whole point. That's what tznius is. Even when no one can see you. We'll see that in a minute. And then he says, v'gam v'tashmish, hamita, obviously marital relations is the other place. It is paskin. Tzarek liyos tznius. V'gam v'koldav, tzarek liyos tznius, v'lo v'priesus. So the two areas in particular where tznius is paskin as a mitzvah are in the most private areas of a person's life. There's nothing more private than the bathroom, and there's nothing more private than the bedroom. And that's where tznius is paskin in its essence. Interestingly, I just mentioned before the book that I mentioned about All Quiet on the Western Front, where it's written by a German soldier going through the First World War, and he talks about the dehumanization of the soldiers so that they now lose any kind of personal dignity. And I remember when I read this in school when I was a kid, the thing that he says was the makeb patish, he doesn't use those words, but the thing that basically sealed their dehumanization was they were all forced to go to the bathroom all together in a field. And they didn't have any privacy there. And he said, that was it. That was the point at which they were not human anymore. Which is very interesting, because it's the Havel, it's Mamash, what it's saying here in the Smack, which is that these areas, the areas where Tznius is most relevant. And from there, Rabbeinu Peretz paskens out in number 7, Talmid Chacham, if you represent Torah. Talmid Chacham doesn't mean necessarily someone with lots of shach, you know, under their belt. It means that someone who represents Torah, She'ein anoig va'atzmoy Tznius, who doesn't act with Tznius, Chayav Mita. Now, that's not talking about a regular person, it's talking about someone who represents Torah, although it's interesting, who represents Torah? You represent Torah, I represent Torah, it depends who we're with. Chayiv Misa, the Fisher Marchi Kabriyas Me'avas Torah, because by you not acting with any dignity, put people off. Oh, well, fine, put people off. So that's the mitzvah d'oraisa from the battlefield bathroom, that's where it's passing in the smack. And now we'll see the halach in Shulchan Aruch, and we'll build a picture of what this mitzvah of self-dignity really is, and hopefully you'll begin to understand where we're coming from. Now, have a look at number 8. This is the halach in Shulchan Aruch. Shviti Hashem le-negdi tamid. The Ramah, the first Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, he brings the pasuk in Tehillim, Shviti Hashem le-negdi tamid, I put Hashem before me always, and he gives a quote from the Morin Uvuchim. If anyone ever says to you, oh, we don't study the Morin Uvuchim, you can tell them it's the first halach in Shulchan Aruch is from the Morin Uvuchim. Okay, the guy is perplexed by the Rambam, okay? Very interesting work, you need a Rebbe to learn it, but it's a fascinating book. Have a look here. It says, Hu klal gadol b'Torah b'malach tzaddikim. This is a major principle in Torah and the ways that tzaddikim elevate themselves. Asher holchim lifnei elokim, they always walk before God. Now, what is this? Ki ein yeshiva ta'adam v'ta'anusa v'asaka v'hu levadoi v'beisai. When you're on your own in your house, the way you act, the way you talk, the way you behave is not the same. Ki yeshivasai utnuoisav. And the way that you behave in front of a king. Obviously, you've never behaved in your own home in the same way that you behave in front of you can't relate to a king, I can't relate to a king. I mean, I know the queen, I don't know the queen, really. But like, we have a queen. There is a concept of Malthus in England. You guys, it's very hard. Where are you from? All from America? A little bit of Canada, maybe? Okay, so you have the queen, but not really. And, you know, Malthus is something, you read all these mashalim, there was a king and you had a son, and you're thinking, what's going on here? Malthus is like, when you see the queen parading up and down, you get a little schmeck of Malthus. We had an interesting Shiloh. Anyone here heard of Princess Diana? That's interesting, people have heard of Princess Diana, because she died probably before you were even born. But Princess Diana was a big thing in England. She died and was buried on Shabbos. She was buried on Shabbos, and the funeral procession came through the Jewish area of Golders Green of London. And a big shiloh went out at that point, which is, should the Jewish people go down, because everybody was standing in the streets, you know, with all this business with the coughing going past, should the Jews join in or not? It's Shabbos! Can't go to a Leviah on Shabbos. So many of the poskim in London Paskin, you must go, you should go. Why? Because there's a chiyuv to feel a sense of Malchus. That you feel the ceremony, the seriousness of Malchus, the kovod of Malchus. There's a whole sugi like that in Brochus that they used to run. They used to even, Kohenim used to skip over the Beit HaKoros, over the cemetery in a way that they weren't totally tamed, but a little bit, in order to be able to see Malchus. Because if you see a taste of Malchus, you understand this much more. And you'll understand the Mashiach much more, etc. It's very hard. You know, President Obama, you think of that as Malthus. I'm not getting into your political views, but the chances are, probably you don't think of that as Malthus. Okay? Fine. So he says, think of what it would be like to be with a Melech. That's not how you sit in your house. The Laidi Burai, second line of the end. Bahar Chavas Piv, the way you express yourself. Kirit Simon, okay? Vahu im Anshe Beta, with your family, Vakrova, and your friends. Kidi Bura Vamosha Melech. Is that the way you speak in front of a king? Kol Shitain, all the more so. Because Shiyatim Adam Alibo Yisheh HaMelech HaGod LaKodesh Baruch Hu, when you think that HaKodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem Malach Al Aris Kvayi, the whole world is full of his covered, Oymed Alav V'Roy V'Masav, God's looking at you and seeing your Maitin, but I see what that means. It's a very pagan idea to feel that God's looking at me with a big eye from the sky. The idea that I'm like, you know, God's watching me. That we have to translate that into a much more Avodas Hashem understanding, which we're going to see in a minute. Kamoshe Ne'emar, Im yisafer ish v'mistarim, Rimei Yahu says, even if a person were to hide in secret, v'ani lo yereno, nu'um Hashem, can I not see them? Of course, God can see all the time. If you think that, says the Ramah, miyad yagi alav ha'yira, you'll begin to feel yira, the hachno, and a sense of humility, the pachad, even a sense of fear, Hashem yisbarach, v'atzkaf ha'kodesh baruch hu, boishet memena tamen, and you'll be boishet. What's boishet here mean? Embarrassed, but it means like, self-conscious on a certain level of a Kodesh Baruch Hu always. The Gamba had Snei Aleches, so too has Snei Aleches. Ubeshechvo Yal Mishkava, when you lie in your bed, Yeda, you must know, Livnei Mihu Shoichev, in front of who you are lying. Now, this is all very nice. But what does that mean in practice? Meaning, when you're sitting in your house, when you're lying in your bed, You're listening, Melech Malchei HaMelachim. So that means what? That means you should dress the way that you would dress in front of a Melech. What, when you're ready for bed? How do you take a shower, Lifnei Melech Malchei HaMelachim? Because you've got to take a shower. So how would you do that? Well, you wouldn't do that Lifnei the Queen, but you have to do that Lifnei Melech Malchei HaMelachim. So how are you going to do that? And when he says the way you speak with your friends is not the way you speak, you know, with the king, does that mean that you're going to speak with me when we chat after this class the same way that you're going to speak with your friends when you go back to the dorms tonight? I don't think so. I suspect not. Don't pretend that you are, because it's not true. Okay. Therefore, what does that mean? So how are you meant to behave? I'm meant to, like, feel that all the time that I'm standing, listening, Melech, Malchei HaMelachim? Well, he says, yes, but how am I meant to stand? What am I meant to be? All the time be like, as if I'm in the most formal position. I mean, you can't live like that. Nobody lives like that. Even the formalist people don't live like that. And if they do, they're usually a bit OCD and not quite right in the head. And you see people like that, that don't seem to be able to, you know, join it all up and make it normal. The Gedolei Israel are often the most normal people in the world. Very normal people. I heard a mitzvah once from Rabbi Gershenfeld. Rabbi Gershenfeld, you know Rabbi Gershenfeld? In Harnach. Very, very big person. He's a grandson of Rav Shimon Schwab. He married Rav Shimon Schwab's granddaughter. He was Meshamish's grandfather, Rabbi Schwab, for many, many, many years. And he took him around, and Rav Schwab once went to see Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach when he was living in Shaarei Chesed, many years ago. So Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Schwab was getting old, and there were a lot of steps into Rav Shlomo Zalman's house. So he said to Rav Schwab, I'll tell you a secret. There's a secret entrance to my house that doesn't have any steps. You can go in that way. Really. So, yes. He said, there's a, like, if you go to, like, there's a poster, like, hoarding. You know what I'm talking about? What do you call that? Where you're from? Like a post, like an advertising thing. You know what I'm talking about? Like on the street. He said, it's actually a door. He described where it was. Like on the street. It's a door, like a secret door. If you twist the edge of it, it'll pull open. And there's a little corridor. And you'll come through and you'll come out in my house. Amazing. So Rabbi Gershenfeld walks with his grandfather, Rav Shimon Schwab. They went to this place, they walked through, and they walked through, and they went through this little passageway, and they emerged in Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's bedroom closet. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was standing in the bedroom. Rav Shimon Schwab was walking out of the closet. He said, they looked at each other, and they just lost it laughing. The sheer incongruity of one Gadol HaDor walking out of the bedroom closet of the other Gadol HaDor. He said both of them were in hysterics for a serious amount of time. And he stood there and he thought, these are two of the greatest people in Klal Yisrael. But they're so normal, they're so real, it's so natural, there's no stiffness there. These are just two good friends seeing each other in this way. Can you imagine that? It's just such a strange thing to see. So how are you meant to be? How are you meant to be? So have a look at what it says here. Go over the page of the source, number 9 through. We're finishing in about 25 minutes. Yeah, 9:35? Fine. Okay. Look later, because this is where it's all happening. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch. First of all, he paskin, you have to be very tenuous in the bathroom. Okay? And there immediately the Bir Halachin number 10 brings the mitzvah doraita of the smack. Straight away, there's all the smack, moinet, sneers, the mitzvah doraita. So in case you had any shiva, we paskin like the smack, be a halacha, Mishnah Berurah brings it straight away on the way the halacha, sneers is paskin in the bathroom. Straight at the beginning, Shulchan Aruch. Similarly, in Ebenezer, number 11, he paskins, you hate sanua ma'oi, b'sha pashtish. You have to be specifically sanua during marital relations. And one of the things that one learns when one's in hot and the kala classes is what that means exactly and how that works and how that expresses itself with different kinds of people in the modern age and how that's a whole different discussion, obviously not for now, but that's an important discussion to understand how that works in reality as well. Number 12 is what it's based on, which is a fascinating Gemara. Hahu Sastana, what's a Sastana? Someone who gives hespedim, professional hespedim. Okay, there are professional hesped givers. Have a look at number 12. Hahu, he says, is an art form. Hahu Sastana, the Nachis Kamen de Rav Nachman. There was this hesped giver that went down in front of Rav Nachman. Amar, he said about somebody who was being buried. He said, oh, Hai Sanua Ba'or Chaisav Hava. This person was so Sanua. You know, they say all the nice things about a person after they die. And that's why some people, by the way, say they don't want Hespedim said about them, because, you know, they, obviously they only say the nice things about a person, but a person is obviously more complicated. So he's saying, this person was such a tzanua in the life. Amalai Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says to this Hesped giver afterwards, said, excuse me, Atalim Behadei Lebeit HaKisei, did you ever go to the toilet with him?
No.
Why? But Yadaki tzanui mon? Do you know if he was tzanua? How do you know? How dare you stand up and say to Hesped he was tzanua when you have no idea? You saw him walking down the street. Very tzanua. No. Sneers is in the bathroom. Sneers is walking down the street. That's a different parasha, which we'll get to. Did you go to the bathroom with him? The Tanya ain't karet tzanua. You don't call someone tzanua. El Adonisha tzanua, basically. Interesting. When people talk to you about sneers, is that what you think? Is that how you understand it? The sneers is the most private way you behave, not the public way you behave. Look at Kimchis, one of the most misunderstood ladies in Shas. You've all heard the story of Kimchis before, right? I can't believe there's anyone in this room who's never heard of Kimchis. Tan Rabban. Good morning, Yuma. Shiv Vabanim Hayula Le Kimchis V'kulan Shimshu V'kuna Gedoyla. Seven sons she had, they were all Konim Gedoyla. How exactly that happens, they were all Konim Gedoyla, is a whole discussion. They die, they retire, whatever. They were all Konim Gedoyla, amazing schools. Amru la chacham, and the chacham said to her, Ma'ati, shezachit lekach, what did you do to have this great schus? To have all this Konim Gedoyla? So what does she answer? Come on, what does she answer? She never uncovered her hair. Amra lahem, she said to them, Miyamai loy rao koiras beisi klairasar. In my life, the roof of my house never saw the braids of my hair. I always had my hair covered. Now, what do you learn from that? What do you learn from that? No, what do you learn from that? She was sneezed. I mean, presumably. Although he didn't say the word sneezed there, but you presumably learn it's good to cover your hair, right? That's why they bring in the story when they say it's good to cover your hair. Kimchis, she covers the hair. She had all these konim gedoyla. So what did the rabbi say to her after that? Yeah, the rabbi said to her, come on, that's not the real truth. Amru la, they said to her, Harbi Atzkein, lots of women do that. V'loi ha'yilin, it doesn't help them. So that's not the answer, is it, Kimchis? That you never ever let the roof see your hair. So what is the answer? Because other people, it doesn't work for them, so why does it work for you? So it doesn't say. But in the Yerushalmi, he gives a slightly different girsa. Rav Berkowitz always brings this down. Look at number 14. The version in the Yerushalmi says, Im rau koras beisi sarus roshi, the imras chaluki. What's imras chaluki? In that they never see the hem of the wool of my skirt, meaning the inside of my skirt. The walls of my house have only ever seen me in a dignified way. It's not anything to do with the hair directly. It's about her whole personality. That she is in the house in a sense of intense personal dignity. That doesn't mean that everybody has to be walking around in the house fully dressed. Kimchis felt that for her, her inner dignity required that she's not going to uncover her hair or undress herself in the house either. I assume in the bedroom that she got ready for bed. But in the house as a whole, she didn't walk through the house improperly dressed. This is an interesting question. How do you walk through the house? Obviously, the way to be dressed in the shower is the way to be dressed in the shower. But I'm sure she didn't go into the shower like this. I mean, that's just not normal. How can you do that? And in fact, we'll see in the Shulchan Aruch, it says that you don't do that. You dress in the bath the way you're meant to be in the bath. So what was it? So when she's walking around the house, and she could either slouch around with a, you know, whatever, a hoodie on, whatever they had in those days. Probably not that. Yehudi, maybe. And whatever. Hoodia. So the Yehudis, well, we're going forever now. So instead of walking around like that, so she felt, no, look, you know something? I'm a choshev person, without any arrogance. I get dressed properly and walk around the house properly. Now again, that doesn't mean you have to, or I have to in this way. We'll see that in a minute. But just get out of your head the idea that it's something specifically to do with the hair. It's not some magic thing. This is the shekels, the big women in shekels and swimsuits. Oh, kimchis! It's the opposite of kimchis. The idea of walking onto a beach and wearing a swimsuit with a shekel on and claiming kimchis? It's like beyond belief. And yeah, I know people do this. I know people personally who do this. And it's just misunderstood. It's all about the inner self-dignity of kimchis that she felt she needed to behave like this. Now, what about you and me? How should we behave? So you'll see some very strange things coming up right now. We'll have to put them into our life. Because I'm not kimchis, in case you didn't. realise that already. I am not Kim Kiss, and frankly, neither are you, Kim Kiss. So what's with us? So let's have a look at these two halachas in Shulchan Aruch 15 and 16, and then I'll end with a couple of interesting ideas that I think go along with this. Let's look at this and talk about this carefully. Look at number 15. This is the first halacha in Siman Beis in Shulchan Aruch, so very early on. He's dealing with getting up in the morning. I'm sure you're all aware that Shulchan Aruch wrote a practical halacha guide. Unlike the Rambam, who wrote a halacha for all time in the Jewish history guide, therefore he paskens how to build a Beit HaMikdash. The Shulchan Aruch is not interested in paskens how to build a Beit HaMikdash. He paskens how to live your life daily as a practical Jewish person. Says number 15. Lo yilvash chalukai miyoshet. Okay, miyoshet. Don't get out of bed, says the Shulchan Aruch, and put your clothes on, but put your clothes on under the covers, okay? The nitsa, and it'll turn out, kishiyakam, when you get up, humachusa, you're covered over. Now, people didn't used to wear pajamas in the old days. So if you're not wearing pajamas, he's saying, don't just get out of bed, walk across to the other side of the room, open your closet and find some clothes to wear. But bring your clothes in and put them on under the bed. So when you get up, you're wearing some clothes. Okay, that's interesting. Then he says, Al Yoma, because you should never say, Hinnei b'chadrei chadorim, I am in an innermost room, Mira Ein, who can see me? Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Malach Al Haaretz Kvodo. Like the Ramos said in the beginning. Because even if you're in the bedroom, and even if it's in the middle of the night, like, who are you trying to kid? The whole point is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present? Again, not that there's an eye in the sky. That's what you tell to a four-year-old. That's a pagan idea. It's that you yourself have to be conscious, we have to be conscious of a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's coming from us. That consciousness is what's meant to create some level of human dignity. Because God can see us, whatever that means, even though God has no eyes, but it's really coming from us. We feel a presence of Shekhinah, which means that we're aware. It's really it's like tefillah. Tefillah is not really related to God. It's the yitpalel and the itpalel. It's really you assessing your own priorities and understanding what you're doing. So he says, don't put your clothes on outside of that. Now, how does that translate into today? It comes along the Mishnah Berurah and says like this: number 16. Da'az, if you are putting your clothes on under the covers. Da'az behechroch, it has to turn out then, yitkale gufoi, okay? Or rather, if you didn't do that, if you put your clothes on without putting them under covers, you'd uncover your body. The ha'adam sarikli has naked tzniut, the person has to be tzniut. Obviously, he's not talking about males, females, talking about everybody. Ubushal, if na kodesh baruch hu. Afil kusel hu laila, even if it's in the middle of the night, ubachadri chadarim, in the innermost room, vahalamalik ala oritz voida, the whole world is full of a kodesh baruch hu, ukechashecha ta'ira lefan of his baruch hu, night, day makes no difference to God, because again, it's coming from you. Vachain sarikli zahed tamid machmas tamze, shaloi be makam hechrech. So he says the Mishnah Berurah, unless it's a makam hechrech, what's hechrech? Not forced is not the right way, that's more like anus. Anus. Hechrek is necessary. Unless it's necessary, you shouldn't be legalos basari, you shouldn't reveal your body. A few mass, even a little bit. Kimad dracha li yoyt mechusav begadim le'olam. Something, kol ma, shedarcha li yoyt mechusav begadim le'olam. And I've underlined this because it's important. Anything that isn't normally uncovered, he says, shouldn't be uncovered. And he gives an example. Aval rashai legalos Yado, you can uncover your hands. He's talking about in your bedroom. He's not talking about in the middle of the street. You can uncover your hands, or koivdo, your elbow, with svarav, your neck, ad chazek, to the chest. Al korchacho, al kain, therefore, ha'anfala, ois, socks. How do you put your socks on, says the Mishnah Berurah? Yiru lalashon, olafashtim, you should take them off and put them on. Gam kain tachat asadim, all under the covers. Shiloy legalos roglam, not to uncover your feet. Now, at this point, you're probably, I mean, you're all looking very respectful, but you're probably thinking, nuts, this is not, you're putting your socks on under your feet, under the covers? People do that? Put the socks on under the covers so that no one's ever going to see their feet in the bedroom? I'm talking about walking down the Rechav Dub Divani with your feet, like, all bare. I'm talking about walking in your bedroom with your feet uncovered. He says, no, people can't see your feet. When I was a young guy, I took this to someone, one of my rabbeim, and I said to him, I'm like, what is it? So he said to me, I remember his words, he said to me, it's a madriga. And I thought to myself, really? The Shulchan Aruch is a madriga? The Shulchan Aruch says, keep Shabbos. Oh, but it's a madriga. I'll aim for it. You know, don't eat pork. Oh, but that's a madrega. You know, I'll be there one day. But the Shulchan Aruch says this is what you have to do. It's not a madrega. It's not Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos is a madrega. Pirkei Avos is Midas Chassidus, what people should aim for. You should be smiling, you should be saying hello, you should be Matzim Shalom, etc. A Talmid Chacham maybe has to keep Pirkei Avos. That's a madrega. Shulchan Aruch is not the same. Shulchan Aruch is a mock. It's a sack. So, Rav Berkowitz said the very, very important thing, which is, look at the words afterwards. He says, you can't uncover your feet wide. Underline, second underline words. Shedarken liyos mechustus li'oilem b'medinas ayun. Because feet are never uncovered in this country. Nobody shows their feet. Feet are off limits. Feet are inappropriate. Nobody wants to see them, and you don't want to show them. He's talking about Poland 150 years ago. People are not into feet there. Okay? And he goes on to say, She'ein halchim yachet. We don't walk barefoot. Afilu b'kayit. Even in the summer. Now, what does that say? It's saying, because no one here would expect you to uncover your feet, because feet, and we can't really get into that social, and feet for us is like it's a lot big deal kind of thing. But where he's living, he's telling you that if people knew that you were walking around with your feet uncovered, they'd be horrified and shocked. Again, you and I can't relate to that, okay, fine. But that's what he said. So if you walk around the bedroom with your feet uncovered, knowing that, oh, it doesn't matter because nobody can see me, meaning, if it got out, if it leaked to the press that he walked around the bedroom with his feet uncovered, then you'd be like, that would be it, your life career over, finished. I'm maybe exaggerating a little bit, but he's saying nobody uncovers their feet. Therefore, if you uncover your feet because you say, well, I'm on my own, who cares? No one's going to know anyway. That's the whole point. You're behaving in a certain way, thinking no one can see you, and you're ignoring the mitzvah of sneeze, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is aware, and you're aware of Hashem's presence. But the implication is because nobody walks around barefoot. But if people do walk around barefoot, if you're living in Morocco, so feet in Morocco is a different thing to feet in Radim, in Poland. So if you're in a place where everybody uncovers their feet, then is that a problem? No, because that's normal behavior. That's the way people normally behave in those countries. In other words, he makes it country specific. So how do Rav Berkowitz explain this? Very straightforward. If you are dressed or behaving in a certain way which is appropriate for the situation that you're in, then that's called tzniut. How do you dress in the shower? Hopefully the way that most people dress in the shower, which is not dressed, because that's what you're in the shower. Okay? How do you dress in the bedroom? Well, whatever's appropriate for you to dress in the bedroom. You wear pajamas, you walk barefoot. Do you think that all of the rabbis who teach you all put their socks on underneath the covers? I mean, I don't know. Maybe some do, but I bet most don't, because that's normal. Would you be shocked to find out that they walk barefoot in their pajamas from the bedroom to the bathroom and back again? You wouldn't be shocked. You'd think, well, what else would they do? Isn't that what normal people do? That's, everyone does that. And therefore, that's not an issue of sneer, because they're not trying to pretend. You'd be shocked? No, you wouldn't be shocked. But what kind of, like, what people ask, what kind of pajamas are you allowed to wear? What kind of pajamas is tzanua? What's the das yehud is in pajamas? Well, the whole point is, and there's a whole Rav Moshe on this, there is no das yehud is in pajamas. Das yehud is what the minag of people is to wear in around and about, in public, in semi-public, in a, there can't be a das yehud is in the bedroom. But like, who's done a survey? Who knows what people, but it's this halacha. What is appropriate for you to wear as an 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old girl from a certain societal place, from a certain mindset, with a certain attitude and religious perspective? What is appropriate for you to wear in the bedroom? So wear that. But if you're wearing something which you know to be inappropriate, and you're wearing it because nobody can see you, and if people knew that that's what you wore in the bedroom, you'd be really embarrassed, so then there's a problem. I mean, no one's embarrassed to feel that people know that they wear pajamas, if that's the right. No one's embarrassed. Like, what do people think, you know? It's not like Victorians that covered up the legs of the tables because they got shocked by even the legs of the tables. They did that, by the way. The Victorians. Yeah. We're not talking about that. And I'll show you that. Look at the Chofetz Chaim. Look at the next round of the Chofetz Chaim. Okay. But in the third line, the third line's on the bottom, at the end of the line. Because take the yotzer then, anything similar. Im loy she'iyesh, unless there's no other way round it. The Chemba Beit HaMerchat, what about in the bathhouse? In the bath. Because they'd have no private bath. They went to a bathhouse. Shedarken shel bnei adam lelech sham arumim. The normal way to be in the bathroom, he says, is with no clothes on at all. There's no other way to be in the bathroom. In the bathhouse, where there's a bath. How can you be in the bathhouse? Without any with clothes on. Okay? He says, ain't there some priests? There's no priests there. There's no lack of sneers there. Ah, but they've got no clothes on. Well, yes, because they're not meant to have any clothes on. That's called the way to be, the correct way to behave with Bnei Hashem. At that stage, it's to be like that. The Chayt HaShiruchit Banar, what if you're in the river? Well, of course, that's the right way. Ah, but you're not fully clothed. But that's the right way to be. Okay, you have to be careful. The Shot, the little Bosh. Some of the Nar, you have to try and get dressed as close to the river as possible. Come out of as much as you can. So that you don't unnecessarily go around unclothed. But if it's necessary, that's called Sanua. What's appropriate for you? And be honest, not playing games. Saying, oh, honestly, analysis. If people knew that this is how you behave, would they be shocked? That's called not Sanua. If they wouldn't be, then that is Sanua. This person's got no clothes on the river. So as long as they get dressed by the river and don't walk around for half an hour with no clothes on, that's not Sanua, but the river was fine. You get the point? I think it's pretty clear. Let's just finish with David HaMelech and I'll take a couple of questions. Shaul HaMelech, Sanua. That's his thing. He's very Sanua. You probably learned these sukkis in Shmuel Ben. Look at number 17. B'schad Tznius, she'hait Bar Barachel, because of the Tznius that Rachel had, Zachta v'yadta mimena Shaul, she had Shaul. U'bizchat sneer shehai bo Shaul, Zachta v'yadta mimena Esther. Fine. So what about the episode when David HaMelech is dancing and flaying his arms and legs around in front of the Aron Kodesh when they bring the Aron Kodesh up to Jerusalem? You've learned that, right? You've learned that somewhere along the line. And Michal stands up, and what does Michal say to him? It's not Sanua. And she's mortified, she's embarrassed. You could act that way in front of the maids? In front of the maids? Meaning, what's she bothered about? It's like, it's public. It's a public show. We don't act that way. Look at number 19, says the Rabbi Gemara in the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabba. This is what Michal said to him. Shel Beit Avi Hayu Sanuin. I grew up where people were Sanua. Okay? Kol Kach. So, very Sanua. The act. You reveal your clothes like one of the lowlights, and he was flaying around, etc. What does he answer her? When she finished speaking, Amalai said to her, did I make a fool of myself in front of a normal king? Didn't I do it in front of God? It's interesting, he's learning kind of the Kal V'Chomer the other way around. That if I'd have made a fool of myself in front of a human being like that, Taka would have been non-Sanua. But that was what the moment required. I was doing it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Shem Shemayim. Hashem Bach Abi Le'Avicha, who chose me over your father, etc., etc. Meaning, David HaMelech says to her, you don't understand Hilchos Tznius, I'm afraid, Michal. You think being Sanua means always being a certain way? Being Sanua means being the right way. In the right circumstances, not pretending that you're not before God. He said, I'm the opposite of not Sanua. I know exactly who I'm in front of. Think of it. The Ramos said, being Sanua is knowing you stand in front of Melech Malchei Amlochim. Says David Melech, I know that much more deeply than you think. And therefore, this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be in front of Melech Malchei Amlochim. And that's how I was. Therefore, now you understand a bit better the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. What do you do if you're walking down the street and you discover shatters in your clothing? Halacha l'maisa could happen down the road tomorrow morning. I hope not. But look at what the Shulchan Aruch says, number 20. Heroic kilayim shel Torah shel. If you see somebody else, your friend, wearing kilayim which is doraisa, afilu hayim mahalach b'shuk, even if they're walking totally in public, hayakoyfet, so you have to jump on them. But kairam alavli yavi terav all the clothes, or the ones with shatters in. Okay. Seriously, Shulchan Aruch. The im hayalosh b'zibregan. If it shatters b'drabbanon, ain't a kara. You don't have to. They ain't a post of a shuk, you don't take them off in public. Actually, Magiyah Lebeitzah, you take them off in private. The im hayah shel Torah, but if it's shel Torah, post them here. You take the clothes off straight away. You take your clothes off in public if they've got shat. Yes. But what's with Hilchos Tznius? What's his hilchus nir? He doesn't say, but it's not sanur. He says, you take them off. He doesn't talk about men, women. He's talking about anyone who's not shanur. You're wearing a dress and someone says, did you get that dress checked for shanur? Because I bought that dress 2 weeks ago. I got it checked for shanur. It's full. It's irredeemable. It's completely doraisa, glowing, radioactive the whole time. Yeah? Says the shulchan off. Off it comes. How? Why? Because the correct way to behave in that situation, the correct way, is to not be wearing shanur. It's to be medaktikim b'mitzvah. The snuim are medaktikim b'mitzvah. Of course you'd have to do it in the most appropriate way you possibly could. Someone's going to throw a blanket on you, etc. Like the Mishnah Berurah says, kol madasha, everything you can, you have to do. But at the end of the day, if that's the way that HaKadosh Baruch wants you to be in that situation, that's called sanua, okay? It's you. It's when we're playing games, saying nobody can see me, and if they could, then they'd be shocked, but no one can, so I don't care. That's the issue with sneers, because that's when you lack self-dignity. This person who takes off their clothes because they've got sanus, their problem with shatnas, does not lack in any sense self-dignity. They just take the shatnas seriously. It's not appearance in self-dignity. You understand? At all. It's the way that it's meant to be. And therefore, I think that is the foundational position of hilchos sneers. But before you can even talk about that, Yehudis and Erva and all these other things, first one has to understand the basic Yoraisa, which is this halacha of in the bathroom, in the bedroom, in the private places, that's where we have to ask whether we are really have a sense of self-dignity and omidlik neymelch malchei amlochim. And everything flows from there. Questions? There must be some questions. Yes, what's your name?
Abigail. I don't understand that if you're supposed to act appropriately for that place that you're in, how does that apply to all, like, but
there's
a beach example, right?
Yes.
So a regular person would wear things at the beach, but that's not sneeze, but it's appropriate for the beach, but it's still not sneeze.
Well, maybe it's appropriate for the beach. Does a person have to be fully on a... You can't be on a mixed beach. There are separate issues of being on a mixed beach. That clearly also to be on a mixed beach, because it's a whole thing. So mixing and other people are looking at you. It's being undressed in front of a group of men clearly is separate. Quite apart from this is clearly also for 1,000 other reasons, okay? But let's say you're on a women's beach. Just a women's beach. Are there halakhas of how you're meant to be dressed on that beach? I've never been to an all-women's beach, I must confess to you. But I imagine that there are people dressed in different ways, aren't there? Some people are dressed in like a house coat, and some people are dressed in less. These ones are sanua, these ones are not sanua. Well, maybe these ones are older, more dignified. Let me give you an example. You're 22 years old. You go home with your best friend who just got married. She's got a beautiful long kalashekel on. Okay? She walks in the house with you, she pulls off the shekel, you sit on the floor, you have a cup of cocoa. Anything wrong there? Are you upset with that? You've known this girl all your life. She walks in the house, she takes off, it's just you and her there, she takes off the shekel, and she's got her hair up and showing, and you sit down. Normal, perfect. Let's say you go with, like, your Revitson, and she comes home, and you walk in, she's 60 years old, married to the robber, the killer. You walk in the house, and she pulls off the shekel. You're like, what's wrong? It's just you and her, two women in a house together, there's no men there. Why do you feel that way? Because for her, it's just such a pirate and sneers for her to take a shekel off in the house. Completely. But for your friend, it's not a chalal not. Why? She's 22. So when you're on the beach, so how does this girl dress on the beach? How does this lady dress on the beach? How does the Revitson dress on the beach? They're different halachas for them. There's no regulation how you dress on the beach. If there are men there, obviously you can't be there. And we'll see why next week. It's clear. So Megala this, Megala that, it's not allowed. But for an all-women's beach, then it'll depend on who you are. I think there's anything inherently wrong about being wearing beachwear on a beach. It would seem. Yes?
I just don't understand source 20. What was it saying?
Source 20 was just saying that if a person has shatness, it's just a technical option of the shatness. If a person discovers shatness in their clothing, they have to take it off immediately. Meaning, if it's Shabbos Darabonon, there's a concept of covered abrius, they can go back to the house, they can take it off at home, they can delay it. But if it's covered Shabbos Daraita, they can't leave the clothing on. And the question on this is, well, what's with sneers? That's the kasha on this, which nobody talks about. What's with sneers? And the answer is that the sneers is, at that point, to take the clothing off. Because that's what the halacha requires, and you're not doing it because of a lack of dignity or self-awareness. You're doing it because that halacha requires. Just if you don't like the idea, just get your clothes checked before you wear them. Okay, that's the moral of the story. Other questions? Someone else had a hand up. No? Someone behind you? Have we got? No. Anyone on this side? This side was not allowed to ask questions.
want to go for dinner. Yes.
Like, how are we supposed to figure out what is normal? Mm. Everyone's kind of very different.
You have to think. You have to think. You have to look in the mirror one day and work out who you are. And think, like, whether you're still the person that you used to be or whether you're now someone different. And you have to take advice from people that are sensitive to these issues. And it requires a certain level of self-awareness. Of course it does.
But it's only based on you.
This halacha is based on you. What is appropriate for you? And you have to work that out honestly. It's not such an easy thing. And it's highly subjective. Highly subjective. Shviti Hashem and Nevi come in is between you and God. It's not really anything to do with anybody else. But you have to be honest and try to get that right. A guide is if people would know that this is how you behave in daily shop. Okay, but that's not always... But this is very hard. You know, I find this hard. I'm sure you find this hard. This is not something simple at all. But this, I think, is the is what we're aiming for. Yeah.
So the circumstance is on page 1.
Yeah.
The bathroom situation.
Yes.
And it's not me that it's covered. So it's singing.
Yes. Let me ask you a question. Yes,
thing?
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question. A person curses. A person says something highly inappropriate because they dropped something on the floor and it broke. And there's someone standing behind them and you're really embarrassed that they heard that. Has it ever happened to you? You don't have to admit that now. Okay? You say a word that people wouldn't have expected to come out of your mouth and they go, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't know you were there. And if they're not there? Say in your own home when there's nobody there, there's just you on the walls, you can say anything and everything and because nobody can hear you, what difference does it make? No, it's about you. The lack of sneers is that not that someone heard it, but that you said it. And maybe different kinds of speech are appropriate for different kinds of people.
And it goes with
it's you and you, because at the end of the day, you and Hashem is ultimately your understanding of yourself, because if you want to try and understand Hashem, then you're going to be trying very hard. I mean, one has to try, but it's largely...
You value yourself?
Yeah. It's your understanding what is required of you, what are your purpose in life, avodas Hashem, and all that kind of stuff. It's really focused mostly on you. The Rambam says, you try and understand God, you'll try forever. You can't understand the essence of God. You can understand what God wants from you, what God does in the world, etc. Alright, ladies, I'm going to leave you to eat your dinner, if you haven't already. I will see you, Be'ezrat Hashem, next Monday evening at 8:30. Yes, 8:30? Yes, I hope. Yes, yes? Good, excellent. Alright. Thank you very much. Have a good night.